Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about how to find happiness in life. You know, every one of us here this morning, has a sack of rocks that we're carrying around with us. Now, what do I mean by a sack of rocks? Well, it might be a physical condition that we have to put up with. It might be a family problem. Maybe a son or a daughter rebelled and left us. Or a mother or father abused us. Or a husband or wife left us. Our sack of rocks might be an emotional problem, like a phobia or a fear of something. Last week, I saw on TV a lady in New Zealand who was afraid of spiders. Every day, she had to spray around her house to keep the spiders away. Her job was sorting mail down at the post office. New Zealand put out a new stamp, and you guessed it, it had a picture of a spider on it. The woman went bonkers, and she couldn't do her work because that picture of the spider. And then a psychiatrist came on the tube, and he said, a lady like that will imagine the spider coming off the stamp and crawling all over her body. That lady is carrying a ton of rocks around her back. It might be that we're carrying around a sack of rocks, that we're a failure in some way. We compare ourselves with someone else, and we think we're a failure. I've read that a big percentage of people in our society are suffering from depression. Anybody can get depressed, you know. There are some people who look at me and they say, Pastor, well, he doesn't have any problems in life. Well, they're wrong. I've got my sack of rocks like everybody else has got a sack of rocks. And I could let that sack of rocks put me in the dumper of depression just like anybody else. The worst thing anybody can do is to compare themselves with anyone else who is successful. It would be easy for me to get depressed. After all, years ago, I went to college with Billy Graham. And he was a senior and I was a freshman at Wheaton College. And even at that time, Billy Graham was an outstanding preacher. In fact, he rented the Masonic Hall or the Masonic Lodge over there at Wheaton on Sunday nights. And then all the students would go to their churches on Sunday morning, and then Sunday nights we all went to the Tab, we called it, to hear Billy Graham preach. I still remember a sermon that he preached about feet of clay from the Old Testament. It's a passage about an iron and bronze statue that had feet of clay. And then he'd say how we have to be careful because everything we do in life can come crumbling down when we let temptation turn our feet into clay. And at any rate, it would be easy for me to compare myself with Billy Graham. And I could say, well, he changed millions of lives around the world. And here I am in a small church, maybe touching a few lives here and there. You want to be depressed? Just compare yourself with someone else who is a little bit better off than you are in some way or another. And you can feel sorry for yourself and think you are a failure. But you're not a failure. You are you, and nobody in the whole world is like you. Never compare yourself with anyone else. Take your strengths and concentrate on the positives in your life. Don't let the sack of rocks put you in the dumper. There's always a sunrise tomorrow. There's always a better way of life that will bring us strength and hope and happiness. But we've got to get out there and go for it. We got to search for it. In our scripture for this morning, in Mark, the 10th chapter, in the 17th to the 31st verses, there's a young man who has everything he wants. If he were living today, he would probably be a successful businessman of some kind. He might be a sales rep for his company, living in a large brick home in one of the fashionable new subdivisions on the growing edge of town, one with underground utilities, a neighborhood pool, and tennis courts. In his garage is a 2-year-old Jeep Cherokee and a new Lexus. And his 24-foot runabout is docked at the marina. He's proud of his attractive wife and 2 children. He's scurrying around, he's carrying around a strange sack of rocks. He's not happy. He wants something more. His sack of rocks is his wealth. He feels empty. He needs something more in his life. He's restless and unfulfilled as in life. And it is all meaningless as a meaningless game. Back to our scripture this morning. Maybe Jesus could give him some answers to how to live life. You know, he comes to, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what he means is, what can I do to give my life meaning and purpose and destiny? He's undoubtedly from one of the better families in town. He is well-schooled in manners and morality. When Jesus tells him to keep the 10 commandments, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and all the rest, he answers that he's been keeping these commandments from his youth up. He has everything going for him. He's smart. He's responsible. He is on his way up in the world. Why then does he feel so empty? Maybe he should start his own business or try skydiving or karate or something. He isn't sure what he needs, but he needs something. Notice what Jesus does now. Jesus looks right into the man's young man's heart. And that's the secret to understanding this story. Jesus looked into the young man's heart, and the writer in Hebrews tells us that all are opened and laid bare to the eyes of God. Certainly, this is a gift that Christ shared with his Father. Jesus knew the young man's heart. He knew what this young man needed. And the prescription that Jesus gave this young man is not the prescription that Jesus would give to everybody. It was designed to meet this particular young man's need. Mark tells us that Jesus looked on the young man and he loved him. Jesus saw his sincerity, his humility, his obvious potential. But he saw a gaping hole in his life. And Jesus looked directly at that hole. And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." Now, you know, that's hard. What if Christ came to us today and gave us the same thing that he gave to that young man? Most of us would ask for a second opinion, I'm sure. Jesus looked into the young man's heart, and he saw that the young man lacked 2 things. He lacked a purpose that would challenge him, and he lacked a person that would inspire him. The young man was sincere, he was moral, he was a nice person, but there was no fire in his heart. And without a fire of some kind in your heart, life is sterile and unfulfilling. He needed something bigger than himself to capture his imagination in his pocketbook. His bank account was full, but his heart was empty. Father John Howie, professor of religious ethics in Loyola University, conducts an annual Ministry of Money retreats for the super rich that are worth more than $5 million. He finds the participants often lonely and burdened and perplexed about their wealth and eager to talk God talk about it. After their soul searching, At least two participants have given their money, all their money away, because they could no longer bear the wealthy's wage. Father Howie reminds them that wealth is by its very nature ad extra. It is meant to go out from you like this light of the that dispels the darkness. Once wealth is unlocked, is locked up within the walls of your own spirit, it becomes evil. This young man needed a cause that he could get excited about. He needed a mission project he could make his own. He needed to build houses for Habitat for Humanity. He needed someone whose life he could improve. Jesus wasn't telling the young man to give away his money because the poor needed it. He was telling the young man to give his wealth away because the young man needed it. Wealth is an ad extra. It is meant to go out from you and from me. The young man needed a purpose that would challenge him. We too need challenges to live by. It may be a teenager in our neighborhood who desperately needs a sympathetic ear. It may be an adult on the other side of town who needs someone to teach them how to read. It may be a group of children in a Sunday school class who needs a teacher who will make sure that they have an outstanding lesson each week. We all need a challenge in our lives. Some time back, the magazine Youth Specialties interviewed several individual members of a youth group. Each of them raved about their youth leader, a woman named Fanny. The teenagers made comments such as, "She really seems to be in touch with what we're doing, going through. She prays about us all the time. I feel like I can relate to her." All the comments were positive and reflected a deep love and admiration the students had for that leader. Fanny turned out to be an 83-year-old woman who walks with a cane and speaks quite slowly. During the interview with her, she inadvertently revealed one of the reasons why she was so successful with teenagers. She said, "Teenagers today are different from teenagers in my generation." Well, we've all heard that, haven't we? She's 83 years old. Of course teenagers are different today than they were then. After all, today's teenagers have MTV and Madonna and gangster rap to guide their values. Of course, they're different. But wait, Fanny's not finished yet. She says, "Teenagers today are different from teenagers of my generation." You know why? Because teenagers today are truly seeking God. Oh, wow. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all adults regarded teenagers with that kind of affirmation and hope? There are many teenagers who are diligently searching for God. They need adults like Fanny to help them find the purpose and meaning in life. The rich young ruler needed a purpose that would challenge him, and he needed a person who would inspire him. You lack one thing, Jesus said. "Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Jesus saw potential in this young man. He could be a leader, but before he could lead, he needed to follow. He needed a mentor, a guide. He needed someone to give him vision about life. He needed someone to plant within his heart the dream about how life could be for himself and his family and his community and his world. He needed to see someone living life eternal, a life abundant, life triumphant, before he could live it himself. We all need a mentor of some kind, someone to show us the way. Businessman Max Dupree, in his book Leadership Jazz, tells about an acquaintance of his who asked himself consistently one question. What would Bucky say? He was referring to thinker, architects, sociologists, engineer, poet, and inventor, Buckminster Fuller. Buckminster Fuller, former Secretary General of the United Nations, you thought called Fuller one of the greatest philosopher scientists of our time. By asking, what would Bucky say, this man was trying to find guidance for his own decisions in life. By asking, what would Bucky say, he was setting a high standard for his life than he would have achieved on his own. In order to be an effective leader, he was willing to follow. In this case, he was following the example of Buckminster Fuller. You and I have the potential to be leaders in our homes and in our workplaces and in our community. Before we can lead, we need to follow. Our standard for abundant living is not Bucky. Our standard is Jesus. What would Jesus do? That is what we hunger to know. Give me the wisdom and the compassion and the insight of Jesus. Then I will have eternal life. For he is life and light and hope and victory. This young man came searching, but he was turned away sadly. The master diagnosed his need, but it was not the diagnosis the young man had hoped for. He wanted a cure that did not require him to change either his values or his way of living. Jesus asked him to do both. Doesn't that happen in real life? God gives a glimpse of how our lives might be, but we turn away. Not for any dramatic reason, but because at the time it seems like too much trouble. It would cost us some money. It would take up our Saturdays. The chance passes us by for life eternal and abundant and triumphant. It's like the rich young ruler. He didn't want to give up his sack of rocks and change his life by following the master of how to live life. Have you ever thought of what that young man's life would have been like if he had followed Jesus Christ? He probably would have become a leader in our Christian faith. And like the Apostle Paul, he may have written something that might have helped millions of people to know God. But no, he would not dump his sack of rocks. He picked them up and went on his meaningless way. You know, we can lighten our load in life. We can give our sack of rocks to God, and God will take them and free us for a happier life. We can have a beautiful life, but we have to ask God to come into our lives and help us. During a time of silent prayer, why not ask God to come into our lives and take our sack of rocks and give us a wonderful, beautiful life? Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive my sins, and take my sack of rocks away from me and give me a wonderful life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time for silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives in a real way and help us. Take all our problems, our fears, and our lethargy, and give us meaning and purpose and strength and love, we pray. Help us to a wonderful life with you. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.